need to tend to nurture me. They don't pretend to, but no, I can't be dead soon. I'm pregnant with possibilities. I'll put to bed soon. I am the one they tread upon. They should protect me, but to my head they hold a gun. And this place is all I have. I have nowhere else to run. They turn deaf ear to my cry like they don't hear me mourn. It boggles me. It makes my mind spin. How there's oil in my soil, but I'm plagued with dry skin. Unrepentantly, some rob me. I see their sly grin. But while this entire thing is tiring, my parts are rising. So then I am the creative walking the cinemas, the programmers, the doctors in theaters, the Afro pop song, the singers with guitars, intellectuals, entrepreneurs raising the bars. But I am the businessman saying, I beg me debt or pay. The student calling home for cash we never day. The street hawker praying for a better day. The average worker hoping for better pay. And I am a farmer with hope pinned to the ground, hoping that the ground will so deem to abound with perfect crops, a yield not flawed. I am praying for rains, but no, not a flood of attacks. I am a large percent of all Negroes, the cry for unity, the labor of past heroes, the choice of integrity over 10 zeros, the tears of bereaved ones soaked in their pillows. I am a prayer for.
It's okay.
On 95.1 Nigeria Info, your mic is always on. Let's talk.
Welcome back. It is What's Happening Abuja, and 1 minute past the hour of 10 a.m. And of course, I want to welcome you officially to the debate this morning. It's our town hall debate, and very, very soon, from you know some of the schedules we have, we will begin to have politically exposed persons, you know, who would, you know, be in the studio and join us for the debates. Most times we will have a contestant, we will have an optimist, we'll have a pessimist, and then these three would speak concerning the situations on ground. So the contestant, you know, speaks about his prospects and the things that he wants to do for the FCT. The optimist speaks about you know, how optimistic he is that the contestant can get through with it. And then the pessimist does the job of the pessimist. Of course, our pessimists will be drawn from members of our calling community. I mean, I can't wait to have Adeomi Daniel in the studio as a pessimist, you know, when we are cross-examining, you know, a contestant for political office, you know, for the FCT, for instance. We have a ministerial, for instance, forgive me, a senatorial candidate for the FCT. And then we've got, he's, you know, an optimist, somebody who knows his pedigree, knows what he can do, what he has done, what he has been doing. You know, the candidate also speaks for himself, you know, but the pessimist also speaks from the, you know, position of the average Nigerian, having related with contestants all the while and all of that, and having related with politically exposed persons, you know, in Nigeria. So, okay, so there's a lot going on, and there's a lot that we can follow up on. On this particular situation. All right, I must apologize. apologize for that slight snafu we had here in the studio. But like I said, we definitely will be having such debates building up very soon. This morning, what we will be debating about is, you know, if you think that this strategy would be effective enough for us to get, you know, the best out of every one of our contestants going into the political season. From next Monday, we'll have our first guest. But on the town hall debate today, will one optimist, one pessimist, and a candidate be, you know, adequate for us in the studio when we have these conversations? Secondly, the idea is to have a virtual body here talking about everybody on Google Meet, having moved from, you know, from Zoom now. On Google Meet, we have more people joining us without a limitation to the number who can join us, you know, and all of that. At the end of the day, you know, have also questions coming in from those who are listening, you know, those who are listening in on the virtual meeting, right? So you tell me, do we do that or do we allow everybody to be on Google Meet and just the contestants in the studio? Let's have a debate. Tell me what you stand for. Tell me why we should do it that way. And of course, we'll be taking all of your comments into record so that we can adequately implement these comments as we continue to do the programming. So let's see who our first caller will be on 0700-951-0000. That's 0700-951-0000. That's the number to call, and you will be on with us here. Beyond that, of course, you can reach me on WhatsApp on 0800-999-30137. That's 999-30137. Let's talk about our approach to getting the best out of our candidates as we build deeper into the electioneering period. Hello.
Hello.
Good morning.
Yeah, good morning.
Welcome. Tell us your name.
Okay, my name is Eniola. I'm calling from Etama.
Eniola, I'm listening to you. Welcome.
All right. I think it's a beautiful idea. I would not suggest that everybody be on Google Meet and only the contestants in the studio. Like you opined, which is correct. Somebody like Adeyemi Daniel being in the studio, you know, we will be a good, even though I don't like the word pessimist, you know, he's not there to be pessimistic. I think he's there to, you know, to interrogate, you know, the contestants and drill down to some of those empty promises that they normally give, you know, certainly put their feet to the fire and ensure that some of the things they are promising, they actually, you know, there are some things politicians promise that are actually undoable. Not only for them, actually those things cannot be done. Based on the kind of structure we have in Nigeria, you know, now.
Okay, so can I defend the word pessimist?
Okay, go ahead.
The reason why we're using the word pessimist is because what we're having is a debate. And this person is coming. So we're bringing in this person as somebody who, you know, basically does not have any leanings, any, you know, he's just being pessimistic so that you can persuade him.
Okay.
If you get my point.
Going completely negative.
Exactly.
All right. That's a good one. So yeah, I think it's a beautiful idea. If you can get the candidate, the real candidate, not the because the ones that will come are the ones for LLP, PCP, but the PCP and the
every candidate is a candidate. Every candidate is a candidate.
I'm saying the ones from those obtuse political parties probably have the long shot are the ones that are eager for platforms. They are the ones that will come.
All right.
You know, but those who have this confidence in their godfathers and their touch of cash may see it as I'll go and myself here that I don't know anything.
Mm.
You
know. Mm. Anyway, all right, let's see how it goes.
God bless.
Thank you. Bye. Okay, so the idea was for us to have, two people along with the candidate in the studio, in addition to the people who will be joining us on Google Meet. So that's what to put down. Let's see what another person thinks of this. Demeo, good morning. Okay. Okay, that's completely off the conversation we're having. Let's see who the next caller is. Please try calling us right back. We lost that call. Let's see who this is. Hello?
Hello?
Morning. Good morning.
Good morning.
Welcome.
How's work?
Welcome. Work is fine.
Yeah, I want to comment. Samuel is my name from Gogolada.
Samuel from Gwags. Welcome.
Thank you very much. I want to comment. Am I permitted to comment on the two voices you aired back end of this program?
The two voices I aired?
Yes, exactly.
What two
the
voices?
The man who was talking of electorate, blaming electorate for all the happiness.
That was just something, in the passing. What we're talking about is, getting the best out of our contestants and creating a platform for them to defend, their mandates.
Okay, let me comment. I understand now. You see, the political, life of Nigerians, both the contestants and the electorate, none is actually sincere about whatever they offer. They are not sincere, and the electorate are not sincere. That is the problem we have. In order to, achieve progress, the competent people in Nigeria, the competent ones, are always relegated behind. It is the talks that are always. Because they have money, you can do anything to make money. They are the ones that electorate do, vote for because of the notes they always give to electorate. So it's very difficult. It's very difficult for I witnessed so many elections. You will see a qualified woman coming to contest. They just see how they will be looking at the person. They will look people as shit. But when it talks, enter to contest, you see jubilation, healing, especially those who are looters. They are those the people that they hail.
Okay. Are you saying there is no need for such debates?
Well, the problem we have is beyond such debates. That is what
we understand that we have a problem. Is it necessary to have a debate so that we can interact with candidates? What do you think?
How many debates have we been having? How many debates?
Okay, so this person is just interested in, asking me more questions and not giving us any. So are you saying we should close radio stations, why are we even having an election, right? How many elections have we had? Why should we have another one, right? I mean, that's not the line of our conversation this morning. I'm just trying to get your take on, what you think concerning the best ways to get the best out of our candidates this coming elections. Hello.
Good morning, Fortune.
Good morning, KD from Gwalada.
Yes,
welcome.
Yes, how are you?
Welcome.
I want to say what I want to say. I want to say good morning to Mr. Niola and Mr. I'm very happy hearing his voice again. Mm. I want to commend you for trying to put together this debate. It's very, very important. We need it. But we need it more often than ever. Because we must continue to engage them. Let them come and talk to us so that we can take them up on what they say. We cannot say debate at 2 minutes. If need be, the other time, some people refuse to come for debate, the presidential candidate. this time around, you journalists should insist, the press should insist, anybody who wants my vote must come to the studio, either on the studio, TV, and let us engage. And it should not be a prepared question. Just come, I will ask you questions naturally. Let's see how you flow, and then we'll ask you questions. Then the issue of PDP and APC, fortunately, let me tell you, these two parties have so been entrenched in Nigerian politics that I do not see the possibility of the electorate dropping the two parties and going for another party. So what I'm trying to say is that let the two parties present their best. And when they present their best, let us choose. But my fear with APC is that, no matter how good a candidate is, APC may insist or compel such a candidate to go on with the policy of this present regime. And that's why my fear is, even though we have very good candidate in APC, we have very good candidate in PDP, let the Nigerian electorate...
We have in all the other political parties. I think I get your point.
We have all other political parties, but like I said, the rest of the political parties, they are not yet, politically speaking, they are not yet... they have not been seeing in the minds of Nigeria. This has come through that political parties.
I get your
point. Let's just go with the two joint tables, because I know a table might be better than the other table. Thank you very much.
Wow.
Please, let's have the debate.
All right.
Thank you. God bless you.
All right. Thank you, KD, for very clearly telling us what your thoughts are on, you know, the town hall debate for what's happening in Abuja. Hello.
Hello, Boston. Good morning.
Mike, When Wind Blows, welcome.
Thank you. My own take is, fortune, if we like, we could gather all people who want to contest from Councilor to Mr. President, they will have something to tell us. They've been telling us all over time. Why not we change the approach? Why not we people say, okay, we've been hearing from you guys, and when you come, you do the opposite of what you tell us over time. Why not we say, whoever must rule, must occupy any of our public space, this is what you must do, and this is what you must not do. Then we'll take the conversation from there. Example, we've been saying it that if you want to occupy our public space, Mr. A or Mr. Atos, Mr. Z, be ready and willing to patronize whatever it is you are providing in the public space here and there. If you say that the public space, whatever it is you are providing the public space, is not good enough for you, go and slug it out with your mates, the Dangotes, the $10, the Magadenugas. You know, for me, that is the way to go, because whenever we call them to come and talk, they will come and talk fluently as ever.
Oh, but Mike, so you see, that's why I'm saying we would have, you know, somebody who is going to put them on the spot, somebody who is not very, very positive about any candidate just yet. And I mean, that somebody could be you in the studio that day. That conversation, you know, I mean, no, I'm literally telling you that the people who are going to sit in that position are people who we have had these conversations together for a long time. So you, Adeumi Daniel, Mr. Bunker, all of you guys. Now, do you get what I'm saying? Now, this is what I'm saying. How about you bring up this issue from that angle on the day that you are in the studio? Think about it. We'll get back to you on that, and definitely follow up and see what the outcomes will be. Hello, good morning. Yes, I can hear you. What's your name, sir?
Yes, I'm Sadiq Rotimi.
Sadiq Rotimi from?
From Kuje.
Kuje. All right, we're listening to you. All right.
That is a commendable program. I'm totally in agreement with you. Democracy is about choice. We must make a choice. And the candidate must be put on the soapbox. FCT election is coming up in like 1 month now, in February 12 or so.
Yeah.
The candidates are all around us there. I think we need to put them on your spot, both from the major party and the minor parties as a court. I agree with the idea of having the pessimistic and the optimistic alone, because we are already divided along that line as the people. So we need to bring these candidates on board, and we need to question them. Most people today in Abuja don't know the candidates. Don't even know their positions, don't know where they are craving for. Mm-hmm. We have people who are aspirant borders of rep, senators, all in FCT.
Mm-hmm.
And they are not really accountable to anybody.
Mm-hmm.
So at least, for once, this will bring them to the consciousness of the electorate, and then we could ask them about their programs. We must keep talking. That was not said because some have not performed in the past, we should stop talking. No. We should keep talking, putting them on their toes,
mm-hmm.
and then asking the right questions.
All right.
We must do that. These are the values of democracy. We can now hand over to our own kids and children.
Okay.
So I support the fantastic program.
Mm, thank you so much. So our last caller is in total support and in support of the methods as well. Good morning, the mayor. What's happening, Abuja? Happy New Week. Hope you had a wonderful weekend, Sir Fortune. Sheriff from Oyo State, good to hear from you. Charles Umbat says, good morning. Irrespective of your explanation, the word pessimist isn't right for the opposing side of the debate. Well, he may be a pessimist and not taking any leanings. It's not like he's from the PDP or he's from another party or something. No, the word pessimist is being used in context here. And that's to say, I'm not convinced yet until you convince me. That's what I'm trying to say. Charles Mbatt. Give me a word. Let's see. Give me a word that you think is better, and maybe I'll use that one. What's happening, Abuja? Good morning, Mr. Fortune, Hafsat says. Good morning, Mr. Fortune. This is Sam from Zuba. Please help me call. Okay, no, this is a shout-out. Good morning, Mayor. The debate is good so that we know the minds of our contestants, that we may judge them when they come into office. But the reverse case is this. We can hold them responsible when Mr. President refused to debate. Did we hold him responsible? Look at the mess we're in now, Manzo says. Okay. This person just goes straight to the Tinubu is the best for 2023. I didn't even ask you about Tinubu. I'm talking about Abuja contestants. Hello.
Hello, good morning, Mr. Mayor.
Good morning. Welcome.
Yeah, this is Peter calling from Abuja.
Hello, Peter. We're listening to you.
Mayor, the election is... the recent one that's going to happen in that area council election.
Yes.
Well, the truth of the matter is that we have been getting it wrong because that is not how somebody will just want to come and contest the election. He will not interact with the constituents, with the people he's coming to ask for their votes.
Mm.
They should be paying to come to radio station and tell people what they want to do.
Mm.
Knowing that Abuja is a kind of a place that you can't just come to a town hall meeting, you call people. Mm. The easiest way is to interact through the media, and the radio is the most strategic one of them.
Mm.
So the debate is I don't know how I want to put it, but it's very, very important and germane.
Mm.
Let's ask them questions. You see, some people will come from year to year, you don't know who they say is your area council chairman. And sometimes, especially this area council election, you don't even know who a candidate to vote for. That is why it is for people who don't care about it. If you see the turnout for area council election compared to the general election, you realize that it's far different, because people don't care about area council election because they don't know who is coming out. So when they come out in a media like this, we'll be able to ask them questions. We're able to hear from them to know the capacity of the person that is coming. Even if we might not say, okay, all that they say is what they are going to do, they don't know whether even they know or can even have in mind what we are thinking they are going to say.
Mm.
It's very important. I support it 100%. Well done.
100% support for the town hall debate, for the elections. All right, let's see. One more call. Hello?
The Grand Mayor.
I do, me.
Thank you, my brother.
How far?
When you are talking with Mr. Mike, I just laugh. Mayor, let me see your memory back to 2014. Before this government come to power, you were an afternoon shift then with Kim.
Yeah.
In the morning, what? and Obi brought Alhaji Lai Mohammed Osudo, he came by himself. Fuad was the one who announced ahead, like 2-3 days, that Lai Mohammed, the APC Public Secretary, is coming. When he came, he failed Nigeria a lot of promises. I asked him, Alhaji, are you people who do this? You condemn PDP then. Agree. So what I want to say, my brother, is that let me remind you a thing. Mr. President himself, he promised us 5,000 to give on the employment use. When he came there in 2017, he traveled to Saudi. He said he never said so. Say he dispatched.
Adeomi, the debate that we want to have, we are proposing to have the contestants, somebody that is optimistic, and there's somebody that is pessimistic. What is your take on that? Quickly.
It's good, but they will emerge on the promises. Will you keep them?
Thank you. It's good. It's what Adeomi says. Thank you very much. Whether they will renege on the promises and all of that is left for when they renege. If they do not keep their promises, if they do not do it, just like you claim that in 2015, certain people promised and they reneged and they are not doing it right now. What are we doing about that? That's the question. We'll be right back.
In the comfort of your home, on your way to work, in the midst of your daily activities, your Let's Talk station is here to keep you informed. Only on your number one for talk, 95.1 Nigeria Info. Let's Talk.
Let's Talk.
New shows, new hosts, new realities, true conversations, trustworthy ideas, shared passionately on your number one talk station of the nation. Nigeria Info, 95.1 Abuja. Let's Talk.
It's okay.
On 95.1 Nigeria Info, your mic is always on. Let's Talk.
I want to tell you a story. It happened somewhere where I know. Three friends there for village. They want to find city gold. They want to go find better life. Somewhere where green grass they grow. Where they go fit to blow. Workaholic, see that one look na the dog in the end. But Babu waving their brother, your mouth sweet past sugar cane. The same thing where you tell them, now you make monkey the slave, and then the dog complain. One day for the owner of the house. If it take time, but one day monkey go go market. Sit down, look good there, as baboon they run the town. Trying together, sit all looked at the same place. Monkey work till he tire, he no get leave, he no get paid. Baboon day, just the flanger, throw banana, he throw them bone, but he the chop alone.
Chai, that's not fair.
Every day for the thief. One day for the owner of the house. If it take time, but one day monkey go go market. Sit down, look who dead, as baboon they run the town. Yeah, they run the town.
run down. But one day for the owner of the house, if it take time, but one day monkey go go market. We go to sit down, look for TV as Baba they run the town. Oh,
every day for the thief, every day.
Politics of our nation.
They have that right to protest. You know, there is no need to go there and now start shooting.
The current affairs of our state.
Everywhere we are going to, the dirt of Abuja is not on the surface.
All at your fingertips on your Let's Talk station.
95.1 Nigeria Info. Let's Talk.
There's a place where you can get it all trending.
People are dropping on their vehicle and running, leaving their vehicle.
A place where you can air your views.
I want to report the situation.
Only on your number one station for talk.
This is not the way. We cannot continue like this.
95.1 Nigeria Info. Abuja. Let's Talk.
My name is...
A country, Chinua Achebe wrote, and I, for one, think he knew what he was talking about, because to say there wasn't, to say that Nigeria is the mistake of 1914, that Nigeria is a mere geographical expression, is to discount 1920 and the formation of the Nigerian National Democratic Party by Herbert Macaulay to fight for the rights of people he considered to be his countrymen. It is to discount 1933 and the formation of the Nigerian Youth Movement by people like Ernest Ikoli from today's Bayelsa, H.O. Davis from today's Lagos, Eyo Ita from today's Cross River to fight for the rights of people they consider to be their countrymen. It is to discount 1944 and the formation of the National Council of Nigeria and the Cameroons, the NCNC. It was formed by students to bring together the two political heavyweights of that time, Nnamdi Azikiwe and Herbert Macaulay, to bring them together in one organization so they could more effectively fight for the independence of a country these young people considered to be theirs. To say Nigeria is a mere geographical expression is to discount the constitutional conferences that took place in 1951, in 1953, in 1957, 1958, when Nigerians from all walks of life came together, sat down to negotiate and agree the terms under which they were prepared to live together. It is to discount Abubakar Tafawa Balewa, who in the early 60s took a trip to the United States. And what he saw there made him think to himself that if this nation, with its trajectory, if this country can become a nation, then Nigeria can do it too. And from the States, he wrote a letter back to a friend in Nigeria. In that letter, he said, from today henceforth, I consider myself a Nigerian and nothing else. To say Nigeria is a mere geographical expression is to discount the fact that for a generation of young men and women, Nigeria was an aspiration, a dream, that independence was the fruit of decades of struggle. So when Chinua Achebe said there was a country, he was expressing nostalgia for a dream that did not come to pass. not very different from the sentiments expressed by Anthony and Nahoro, who, as a young man, he was a young man who in the parliament in 1953 moved the motion for self-government, governance in 1956. But as a much older man, later in his life, he wrote, "This is not the Nigeria of our dreams. I know this. I know that this is not the Nigeria of the dreams of Achebe's generation. I know this. I know that there was a coup on the 15th of January 1966 that triggered a catastrophic series of events for this country. I know this. I know there was a pogrom in May, in July, in September of 66, when men, women, and children were killed. Pregnant women had their bellies split open, their babies ripped out and killed because of their ethnicity. I know this. I know that there was a war, a brutal war, where millions of children starved to death, innocent men, women, and children killed. Until today, there is no plaque, there is no wall, there is no memorial anywhere to remember them. We don't even know what their names were. We don't even know how many people actually died. Some of them, we don't even know where they are buried. I know this. I know that this giant of Africa stumbled right out of the starting blocks and almost collapsed. I know this. I can even understand why it happened. Because our founding fathers, Nnamdi Azikiwe, Obafemi Awolowo, Ahmadu Bello, our founding fathers were really and truly different. In fact, the fact that those three people were able to work together somewhat to bring Nigeria into independence is testament to their belief in the viability of one Nigeria. That belief was virtually the only thing they had in common. They were really and truly different. Ahmadu Bello was born in northern Nigeria, raised in northern Nigeria. Northern Nigeria was his cosmos. The first time he went to Lagos, he was in his mid-40s. Obafemi Awolowo was born in the western Nigeria, raised, lived there all his life. That was what he knew. Of the two, the one that was slightly different was Zeke. He came from the east, but he was born in the north. Did part of his education in the east, completed it in the west, worked in the west, did his politics in the west. He was the most cosmopolitan. So it is very logical that the concept of one Nigeria, of a monolithic Nigeria, of a Nigeria where any Nigerian could represent every Nigerian, regardless of tribe or faith, it's logical that it came naturally to him because that was his sociocultural background. Ahmadu Bello had a slightly different concept of one Nigeria. To him, one Nigeria was a federation of the existing regions, the regions that existed at the time, because northern Nigeria was his primary constituency. So he saw Nigeria as a federation of northern Nigeria and all the other regions of Nigeria relating on an equal but independent basis. Obafemi Awolowo had a slightly different idea. Like Ahmadu Bello, he also didn't see Nigeria as one monolithic entity. He saw Nigeria as different groups. But those groups were not the regions. Obafemi Awolowo saw Nigeria as a federation of ethnic nationalities because the region he came from was dominated by one ethnic group, the Yorubas. So he saw Nigeria as a federation of ethnic nationalities where each major ethnic group would have its own political unit from which it could relate to the others on an equal footing. And when we became independent, it was the vision of Ahmadu Bello that carried the day because Nigeria became independent as a federation of the existing regions. But over time, we have evolved towards the vision of Obafemi Awolowo because over time, different ethnic groups have begun to agitate for greater recognition at the federal level. And that is what has driven the fragmentation of this country from a federation of four regions to a federation of 36 states and one federal capital territory. But what baffles me is that individually, we have evolved more towards Zeke. Today, Nigerians are more cosmopolitan than ever. 60 years ago, it may have been odd to find a Nigerian who was born outside his place of origin, lives outside of his place of origin, works there, has maybe even lost ties to his place of origin. But today, if I were to ask, how many of you fit this profile? So many hands will go up. There are so many Zeeks sitting here in this room today. Which begs the question, if we have become more similar over time, why is our politics still as divisive as it was 50 years ago? I can understand it 50 years ago. It was an accurate reflection of their sociocultural reality. But as we have become more similar, why is our politics still locked in the past? There are many reasons for this, but I'll give you two. One, the bedtime stories we've all been told. For instance, you've been told that the Igbos killed the Sadauna. You're not told that the Sadauna was killed by Major Kaduna and Zogu. What you're told is that the Igbos killed the Sadauna. You're told that the Yorubas betrayed the Igbos. You're not told that Obafemi Awolowo was the Commissioner of Finance in Gowon's government during the war, and it was his responsibility to evolve a fiscal strategy for the Nigerian side in the Civil War. No. What you're told is that the Yorubas betrayed the Igbos. You're not told that Murtala Muhammad led the army into Asaba during the Civil War, and it was under his watch that the Asaba massacre occurred. No. What you're told is that the Hausa Fulani murdered the Igbos. And so we keep seeing our social reality through the blinkers of these stories and forces us to keep interpreting current facts using models that were invented 50 years ago. Two, the system. Now, I don't care how cosmopolitan you actually are, but at some point in your journey as a Nigerian, in fact, at many points in your journey as a Nigerian, you will encounter the question, what is your state of origin? And attempting to answer that question will take you straight back to 1966. But you need to answer that question because it gives you access to so many parts of Nigerian public life. It is the answer to that question that will get you an admission in Nigerian public universities. It will get you a job in the Nigerian civil service. It will get you promoted. It will determine your consideration if you're ever going to be appointed a minister in this country. It will determine your decision about where to run for public office in this country. And therefore, no matter how you define yourself based on your actual upbringing, at some point you have to accept a label that was created by circumstances 50 years ago. And these factors ensure that as we become more similar, in fact, our politics remains locked in the 50s and the 60s. Now, what can we do about this? How can we facilitate integration in this country? For one, we have to tackle it directly. Integration is not a byproduct. It does not just happen. Integration is unnatural. It only happens as a result of deliberate investment in integration, because there is no nation on earth that is natural. All nations are the deliberate creation of men. To facilitate integration, we have to deliberately and consciously invest in integration as Nigerians. And there are certain aspects of integration we must invest in. One, I'll give you six because of time. One, we have to invest in the infrastructure of integration, in the things that actually connect us physically, like roads. For to be physically isolated is also to be socioculturally isolated. For instance, I cannot tell you the damage, the non-existence of something as simple as the Second Niger Bridge. I cannot tell you the damage that has done to the fabric of nationhood in this country. We can't see everything simply in terms of Naira and Kobo and contributions to the GDP. Sometimes we have to evaluate some of these things in terms of their impact on a sense of belonging. For that sense of belonging is as critical to Nigeria's future as the crude oil in the Niger Delta. For this reason, we must consciously invest in the infrastructure of integration, things like roads, things like unity schools, things like the NYSC, things like sports, Nuga Games, the National Sports Festival, things like music and arts, things that naturally connect people. Any government that is thinking seriously about the future of this country has to see these things as strategic investments. Two, we have to invest in the economics of integration. As a rule of thumb, whenever people feel less secure, whenever they feel poorer, they tend to become more xenophobic. So to invest in security, to invest in a vibrant economy, to invest in growth, is not just to invest in growing the GDP. It's also to invest in creating a climate that is conducive to tolerance and integration. Three, we need to invest in the body language of integration. As Nigerians, we must become conscious of the fact that we are living in a highly charged political environment. We're living in a space that is mined, that is fragmented by fault lines. And that any word carelessly spoken or action carelessly taken can provoke a traumatic and extreme reaction from any section of this country. And we need to begin to invest in the language that demonstrates our awareness that we are citizens living in a fragile nation. It's very important. Four, we need to invest in the stories of integration. The only stories we ever hear is how the Igbos killed the Sadauna, how the Hausa Fulani killed the Igbos, how the Yorubas betrayed, how... You'll never hear how the Emir of Katsina went out of his way to save Igbos during the pogrom. You never hear of the Nigerian soldiers that came into Biafra and were giving water and food to the children they saw. You never hear of Umaru Altine, the Hausa Fulani man who became the first mayor of Enugu. You never hear of Igbos who are winning elections into state houses of assembly in Kano and Lagos. You don't hear these stories because they don't fit the mainstream narrative. Any government that is interested in the future of this country will be investing in pushing those stories. Five, we have to invest in the morality of integration. No matter what your ideology or politics is, I don't know what you think of Nelson Mandela, but you can't take it away from him that the fact that we have a multiracial and democratic South Africa today is a direct result of his decision not to take vengeance on the whites when he had the opportunity. That act was his own investment in the unity and integration of his country. We need more acts like that here in Nigeria. We need people who have suffered harm at the hands of individuals, members of other religious and ethnic groups, who make a decision that when they have the opportunity, they will not take revenge. Because this tit for tat will take us to a dangerous place. As Mahatma Gandhi said, an eye for an eye, a tooth for a tooth, will leave us both toothless and blind. Also, we need to put the Lady Justicia. We need to put the blindfold back on her eyes so that justice in this country is blind, particularly to the ethnic and religious background of the people that stand before it. People should pay for their crime, whatever the reason. If you do the crime, you should do the time. Simple. Lastly, we need to invest in the politics of integration. Now, those that don't want Nigeria have effectively politicized their points of view. Over the years, we have developed the capacity to politicize our ethnic and religious differences. But we have failed to develop the capacity to politicize the things we share in common. And what are these things we share in common? What do Nigerians have in common, regardless of faith or tribe? I'll tell you, we have bad roads in common. We have no light in common. We have no books in our schools in common, no drugs in our hospitals in common. That is what we all share. Poverty in Sokoto, poverty in Yenagoa, corruption in Maiduguri, corruption in Lagos. Yet, while we've been able to build radical, populist, fanatical movements over our differences, we have been unable to build radical, fanatical, and populist movements over our socio-economic similarities. Because any objective analysis of the facts will show you this, that there is no major ethnic group or religious group in this country that has not produced a political leader at some level of government in this country, which suggests that what we are suffering today has nothing to do with the village the person comes from or the gods that he worships. It has everything to do with the quality of his policy prescriptions and his commitments to executing them. This is an issue that is routinely neglected by those whose politics is defined by identity. Now, I believe that if we are able to invest in all these aspects of integration, then that dream that eluded the generation of Chinua Achebe will become realizable in ours. Officially, this is where my speech ends. But before I step off the stage, I would like to do a poem. This poem is titled The Wall and the Bridge. If a white man turned and called me nigger, my blood would boil in righteous anger, for the evil of discrimination is clearly established when a white man tries to treat me like rubbish. But if Hausas say Igbos are greedy and crude, and Igbos say Hausas are haughty and rude, and Ijaw says Ishekiri must die today, and Eza tells Ezilu there's no other way, If Yorubas declare it is awo or nothing, and we use federal character to share everything. So before you can even smile and tell me welcome, you must first ask me where my father is from. If those who were settlers but now indigens, say those who are settlers can't become indigens, while the constitution says we are all citizens, local governments keep issuing certificates of origin. If my brother passed jam but can't go to uni because he is Steve and he's not Kanuri, and uni main has a quota for its catchment area, so he must go back to Benue or wait one more year. If it's okay to say it's not okay to marry someone just because they are Kalabari and that every tribe should have its own side. Are we not then practicing apartheid? If you cannot buy land unless you're a native, I cannot find work unless you're a native, I cannot feel safe unless you're a native, how can we then say we're not primitive? Yet, you go to London and get their passport, then settle wherever, however you want. You stand there and fight for equality, but come back and start to use ethnicity. I don't get the logic of thinking it's different to be tribalistic and then to be racist. If you're happy to judge him just hearing his name, whatever you call it, my friend, is the same. Where there is no courage to cross this divide, where there is no faith to look deep inside and stop judging accents and surnames and dressing, this fire we're quenching will only keep burning. Which nation can stand dividing its people? How can one build on foundations so brittle if we cannot see ourselves in each other? This journey ends here. We're going no further. For when God made man, he gave him no facial marks. He did not make Gbagi, Okun, or Angas. As sure as a black man is just like a white man, no culture is older than being human. This is the truth. Until we accept it, our nation will stumble on its broken feet. For the same things can bind us and drive us apart. For the wall and the bridge are both in the heart.
This is Nigeria Info.
Nigeria Info.
So make we do the thing, yeah, make we do.
Nigeria Info. Let's go.
Today is a good day. A good day to take a walk. A good day to reach for your goals. A good day to finish reading that book. A good day to connect with your friends while doing the things you love. A good day to shoot your shot. A good day to enjoy life to the fullest with Malta Guinness.
Malta Guinness. Enjoy a world of good.
Let's talk about the biggest conversations made of trustworthy ideas passionately connected to everyone. Let's talk on Nigeria Info 95.1 Abuja.
All right, in 5 minutes, we will be taking the news at 11, the world news it will be. Someone will be here from the newsroom to take us through that. And, of course, we'll get into our happy hour, our last hour for the show for today. But, I mean, just listening to Chukwumerijay J, as DK Chukwumerijay J, as he spoke about, you know, the no culture being older than being human, talking about the narratives that we should, you know, promote in our everyday conversation. You know, it just drew, I drew great strength from it, knowing that, you know, there are narratives that are not getting as much airtime as they should get. Narratives of people going out of their way to be good to other people. Narratives of people of different ethnicities turning out to be the closest, the best, the most reliable friends that you have ever had in your lifetime. Narratives of people, you know, really not caring where people come from and doing their best to make sure that whoever it is they are coming in contact with, you know, lives with a positive memory of that particular engagement. These narratives are the narratives that we should promote. And of course, we would be happy, you know, to get such narratives from you. So is there, you know, a situation like that you've interacted with? There's someone who went out of his way for you, somebody who, you know, did something to help you get through a difficult situation, and all of that. You want to share that kind of narrative? Maybe you should share with me. Okay, so I see this person calling in right now. Let's see. Oh, so sorry about that. I did miss your call. So, I mean, you have such a story, you have such a situation, and you want to share it with me, you know, being in different parts of the nation, growing in a different place from where you are from, talking about your origins, your state of origin, your ethnicity, and all of that. Yet, you know, you have seen and enjoyed the goodness, you know, of people from a diff-